boy, Chef Plum. Big thanks to all you guys for checking the show out tonight. And the past few episodes have blown up. I really, truly appreciate all the love, all the listening, and all the incredible feedback I'm getting from you guys. So thank you very much. The show wouldn't be where it is without all of you. Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor if you have 2 seconds. Throw a rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. You get this brought right to your phone for free once a week, Tuesday mornings. Actually, I think it's Monday nights, technically, but whatever. You get it for free from us. Again, thank you guys very much for checking out the program. Let's play some dramatic music.
A price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees. I pray you can say goodbye to the good old days. They're never coming back. Watch a few more.
Everybody, happy Monday. What's going on? I hope your week is off to a great start, a fantastic start. My week's off to a great start. I hope you guys are having a great one too. Listen, happy to be here on a Monday night. Welcome to Plum Love Foods Live. It's your boy Chef Plum sitting here live in the studio on my fancy schmancy microphone. Just poured myself a beverage. I couldn't hold off on the beer too much longer. I finally poured myself a blood orange wheat Jack's Abbey. It's a good freaking beer. I'm not gonna lie. Is that I really missed beer. Maybe that's what it was. I started drinking beer again last week, so I don't know. I'm trying to go easy on it because here's the problem with it. I'll drink 50 of them, right? I will. I'll just constantly pound beers like it's nobody's business and feel great about it, and you'll never know I've had too much to drink. Unfortunately, if I drink that many beers on a daily basis, you will notice it because I will be even larger than I am now. Now, I know. You look at this guy right here, and you're like, look at that guy, Chef Plum. That guy is a peak physical specimen. His 12-ounce curls are like none other. His hula-hooping skills are unmatched only by sumo wrestlers. No, no. It doesn't get better than that, you guys. That's why I can't do it. I got to try to look after this temple, this palace, that's what I call it. What am I even talking about? That's what I'm talking about right there. Yeah, just me and my palace of a body. Oh, my God. So funny. Guys, I had a guy today at the parking garage tell me that he would slide through because the cars were parked pretty close together. I could fit, though. And the guy was like, no, no, I'll get it. I'm afraid you're too big. Your knife bag's going to hit your... He didn't say a knife bag. You know what it was. He goes, your bag is going to hit the car next to it. And I was like, dude, first of all, you're like 150 with a pot belly. I can see my toes. When's the last time you saw yours? That's what I wanted to ask him. Oh, P.S. I can see myself when I go to the bathroom. Can you? Because his gut was giant. And it bothers me that these old people, that not in general, this particular gentleman felt that it was okay to send it to me. But he was old, so I just kind of laughed and said, okay, dude, do your thing, man. Handle your business. Wow. I can't believe it's a story I'm telling. It wasn't the plan at all to tell the story. We had a great show tonight, you guys. I'm really excited. I've kind of been talking about this ProStart event done by the National Restaurant Association Education Foundation. I've been talking about it now for a few weeks. And how much of a great experience it was to be back in that fold of yes chef, no chef, wearing the toque on your head, the way it's supposed to be done. The training that these kids are starting now in their careers and moving forward with it to make a career for themselves. Honestly, it's amazing to see. It's great to see these kids, and they're working so hard on it. It's quite inspiring. And so I've been talking a lot about the experience I had there, so I thought tonight would be fun to have on one of the very, very important people about this event, Cherie Mooney. She was actually one of the co-head judges for the event. I thought she was fantastic. We had a great conversation. I said, you know what? I would love to have you on here and talk about this, talk about you know, just the whole event and whatnot. I think that she can, lend a different perspective, a different point of view. This is her first year being the co-lead judge, so she'll definitely have some perspective for us to talk about it. And not only that, she's a person who spent her career working in one big circle. She went all over the place and worked in lots of different positions after school, and her dream was to always return back to school and become an instructor, and that's what she's done. So it's going to be a lot of fun talking to Sheree about this stuff. And the fun part is that in our pre-talk ahead of time, yes, folks, sometimes I talk to people ahead of time before the show. And she's like, I saw in your email that we can curse. There's no language barrier. I said, yes, we can curse. And it's funny because a lot of chefs, you don't expect that. You know, I don't expect to hear that from chefs, but someone who's an instructor in a school, it's just a different level, like a different perspective on it. So it should be fun, and hopefully I can try to get her. I'm going to see if I can get her to drop an F-bomb. Maybe she will. I don't know. Unless she's afraid students might hear it. But, you know, maybe we'll see if we can get it. But it's fun because it brings up a good topic here in the open to talk about. And for me, it's an important topic for me because I think school is an important thing, culinary school. Now, not everybody agrees with me, and that's okay. Everybody has their own opinion. But in my own world, school laid a foundation for me. I learned in school what a bassinet was. I learned what a brunoise was. I learned the exact measurements of a small dice, a medium dice. I learned what fond was. I learned what nappe meant. You know, I learned all these things. And it becomes like a second language. Like you almost can speak this language. And a lot of people who haven't had formal training or worked under a properly trained chef, they don't understand those things. And the cool thing about the ProStart program was that these kids are learning that, and they're 15 and 16 years old. And my God, if I had had that foundation when I was that age, unbelievable. And the discipline, you know, the discipline. If the chef says, hey, cut this into the shape of a Keebler elf, I need 1,500 Keebler elf shapes, it's not going to be a whole bunch of questions or a whole bunch of, oh, well, I didn't understand. It's going to be, yes, chef, and they're going to cut it. And that's what it's supposed to be. That's how it works. I think that's things like that are how come chefs now, like we've talked about last week, are working on a regular basis, 12-hour, 13-hour days. You know, we heard from Chef Brian Sal last week telling us all about how much he works, which is, God, that was a great episode. One of my favorites. Brian was a great guy to talk to. But it becomes one of those things in our industry where it's the norm to work that many hours. It's the norm to do an event that might take 12 hours, you know, and people get tired because they're not used to it. And, you know, Brian was saying a lot of that tends to weed out some of the people who can't handle it. But, you know, I think one of the things in school is that you start to learn that. You start to learn this long period of time to work. You start learning about standing on your feet for 12 hours. You start learning about all these important things that are part of the business that seem so minor, so unimportant at first. But the more and more you're in the business, the more and more it makes sense to you. And the more it just kind of clicks in your brain. And once it clicks, it truly clicks in your brain. You don't think twice about it. It's just there. It's almost muscle memory. Your hands just do it on their own. So I don't know. I think school, the point of that whole diatribe there was, I think school is a great foundation for a lot of people. Where it starts to get a little dicey is when they come out of school and think they're a chef, or when they haven't gone to school, but they work in a restaurant or they work in a business for, you know, a couple of years and they want to call themselves chef. You know, to me, and I've said it a million times, I want to ask Chef Sheree about this when she's on here, but that's a very much an earned title. You know, that's something that you don't call yourself. Other people call you that because you've earned it. And, you know, like I said, with having that gentleman on who wanted to come on the show and he won a particular children's culinary competition and now called himself chef, that bothered me. And it still bothered me. You can see how much that rubbed me the wrong way. But it's just interesting because I want to see it. And Sheree had told me a couple little notes I thought was funny. I hope that she can talk about that with us because about her thoughts on that same situation. So, you know, it'll be fun to kind of get the input from someone who went to culinary school, who's kind of come full circle now back to teaching at a culinary school. I think it's great. And, you know, with everything that she's done, leading up to the point where at the National ProStart competition this year, she was the, you know, co-lead judge. She was my boss. She was my boss that weekend, which I know sounds crazy. I'm not used to having a boss, but she was the boss. And believe it or not, I'm actually good at having a boss when I don't know what I'm doing. It's my first time there. Yeah, I'm good. And hopefully she won't get mad at me. I got to ask her. I made some people cry, and I hope that – I mean, I didn't physically try to make them cry, just in the honesty about dishes. I don't know. I'm sure it happened to a lot of people. It wasn't just me, right? No? I hope so. Anyway, you guys, I'm pouring myself a cocktail. I'm going to get my ducks in a row, and we're going to come right back here and start this interview with Chef Sheree Mooney. I can't wait to talk to her because I have so many questions about this. And just – hearing stories like this, it's really heartwarming to me to find people who are doing what they want to do in this business and taking full advantage of it. I love that. That's such a great thing to see. So guys, please, if you don't mind too, throw me that like. Why do I keep saying like? I think it's like a Facebook thing. Throw me that that rating and that subscription on the iTunes, man, on the podcast thing on your app, because it does a lot for the algorithm. It really, really helps me out, and you can see it makes a big difference. So if you have 2 seconds, please do that. It would really, really appreciate it. Feedback's been great lately, guys. The downloads have been unbelievable. Thank you guys all so much for that. And also, too, you can also get us on iHeartRadio now, which is pretty cool. So iHeartRadio is a thing. I didn't know it was a thing, but it's a thing. So that's great news. All right, guys, check it out. I'm going to play a song, and I'm going to be right back here with Chef Sheree Mooney. Stay right there, guys. Here's We Were Kings by my good friend Ryan Starr.
I keep a photograph of you up on my wall. The beach in winter on the island says it all. Oh, 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 those days were gold. Oh, 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 we didn't know. We stole your father's car, you didn't know how to drive. Touched down on the edge of town, we made it out alive. Setting sun. Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we sang a song for all our dreams. We were young and lost when we were kings. I will never regret the scars we burned. How could you? Staring at the stars, the only lights connecting me to where you are. Oh, 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 where have you gone? Oh, 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 I knew you were the one for me. And we said,
Kings by our good friend Ryan Starr. Hey, if you get more Ryan Starr, you can download the Station Head app. It just went public. You can download it and check out Ryan on there all the time. Our new program will be airing live on Station Head very soon. I think starting in June, We're interviewing all kinds of cool artists and whatnot. It's not always about food. It's your boy here interviewing people about regular things. So it should be a lot of fun. And that show's also then going to replay on this program the week after. So it should be a lot of fun with that when we start. The original start date was going to be May 31st, but we had to change it because of some scheduling issues or something. Very, very soon. I think we're going to start in June. It should be early June that we have the first episode. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to announce it here, I think, so everyone, it's going to be in front of a live crowd. So you can actually come to the studios and you can hang out while we're talking to people. We're going to have all kinds of mainstream people on. It should be a lot of fun. We're really excited about it. So I'll announce it and we can figure it out. And if anybody wants to come, shoot me a message and we'll get your name on the guest list. That's for sure. So tonight, like I said before, I've been talking all about the whole Pro Start program and how much I enjoyed being a part of the Nationals this year. Especially seeing those young kids and how they're learning and growing at such an early age and engrossing themselves and everything. So it was great to be a part of that. And so one of the co-lead judges there was one of the first people I met when I walked in the door. I sat down at this little table, and this young lady was sitting beside me, and she reached around and she shook my hand and she introduced herself. She said, "Hi, I'm Sheree." I said, "Hey, what's up? I'm Plum." And the best part was, you can always tell a good kitchen person when you tell them your name is Plum, they don't bat an eye. She was like, "Okay, that's cool." As the event went on, I came to see how cool she was and how into the event she was and how much she cared about the students that were at the event, being a teacher herself. So, ladies and gentlemen, please say hello to my new friend, Chef Sheree Mooney. Chef, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. How are you?
That was a very, like, good evening, like, very, like 50s horror flick, wasn't it? Sorry about that. So, Chef, thanks for taking the time to come on tonight. We really appreciate it, and talk a little bit about what's going on with you and how your story, like, started, because you started wanting to cook at a very early age, right?
Yeah, well, I always wanted to cook. I used to pull out my Fisher-Price kitchen out of my closet and just play cook at after dinner every night. As a kid, but my parents were not fond of the idea of me becoming a chef. So there was like a.
Did your parents work in the business or no?
No, they just wanted me to have more of a easier life, something less on my feet and less grueling. And so they said no, and I said, "I'm still gonna do it," and just went for it. So,
nice.
You know, it's one of those things that you follow your dreams, and I basically just chose to. And I had a really supporting boyfriend, but now husband at the time. So I went for it, and he kept supporting me, and now I'm here doing what I love to do.
Well, is he in the business too, or no?
No, actually, he's a complete opposite of me. He's a mechanic, but he still understands hard labor and. Working hard, working with your hands, being busy, keeping active.
Totally. It's interesting, and I want to
step benefit of cooking.
Well, we'll step back into your history a little bit in a little bit, but I want to ask you more about. I just want to start right with the Pro Start program, because that event really, the Nationals this year, and me being so humbled and fortunate to be a part of it and getting asked to come, it left such a mark on me. Like, I am such a I appreciate the business for what it is and for what it was and what it is now. I say it a lot, but a wise man once told me, you'll never know where you're going if you don't know where you came from. And that stuck with me for a very long time. And I feel like the kids that are in this program are really learning that. They're learning the history. They're learning to understand these things. I know a lot of cooks now that could, if I said cut a bassinet, they have no idea how to do it. Or, hey, cut a perfect brunoise, they would be a small dice. They just wouldn't know the difference. These guys are learning that right now. I think it's so cool.
Yes. I think the discipline that takes them to have to do a three-course meal in an hour at a high school level is pretty impressive. They really have to hone their skills and practice and understand that it takes time and it does take experience to be able to do what they can do. Nowadays, most people just want the easy way, where I just want to be a chef without the work. So something
they just want the title different. Without actually doing the work for it. And you could be in this business for 10 years, I still don't think you're chef. I mean, if you haven't done the work for it, in my world, that's how I come from. But I think there's different generations of cooks and culinarians, and you probably see a lot of that in your work now, because you know, I think that my generation of cooks, I'm not sure where we fall in the age range, but, you know, a lot of us, there wasn't a lot of Food Network. There wasn't a lot of that when I first started doing this business. That wasn't even a thing yet.
Yeah, when I first started, it was barely, Food Network was like a good channel to watch. Now it's more, not something I would like to go watch, but it definitely has changed over the years.
Yeah, it's amazing. And now kids will go to culinary school and then they want to come out and, you know, they want to call themselves chef immediately. And it's just, it's ridiculous. And, you know, I would hope that the ProStart program teaches these kids that that's not really how the world works. And what I love the most about it is that we were there and you would speak to them. I mean, they would stand at attention. They would listen. They wouldn't speak unless spoken to. You know, I think there's a lot of discipline there that could be learned and used in the world today by a lot of people.
Yes, for sure. It definitely gives, like, how I always tell people who ask me, should I go to culinary school or not? Like, I know you could just learn through experience, but I tell them that it gives them a different culture. It gives them the way to be professional chef, the way to be in a professional
right.
cooking environment, not just going, it's like going to college and getting, because our, where I teach, it's like more of a business major. It's hospitality management.
Right.
So I tell them that, you know, you learn hospitality management, you learn how to be professional in your resume, as well as your interviews. Culinary school does that for you as well. It shows you how to dress or how to properly cut things or ask questions or, you know, wait for the chef to tell you how to do things. It just gives you that professionalism that most students won't, or most chefs or young chefs won't have when they just go straight from school and just go get for experience. It's kind of like you have to learn to yourself.
Completely. I mean, it's just, I'm a big proponent for school. I know a lot of chefs in the world these days aren't, but I am. I think it gives you a good background, a good basis. It kind of teaches you the history so you understand where you came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, before school, I could never tell you what nappe meant.
Yes.
Yes, like if I know.
Yes.
But you actually, so just to finish up on the ProStart thing, you've been a part of it for a long time. This year you were the co-lead judge. So what does that mean? What does that entail?
Pretty much, I handle the back end of it, manage 40 of the judges, as well as setting up the culinary floor, making sure that all the pieces are right, measurements are correct. Every team will have the equal amount of opportunity. Setting up the washing or hand washing stations, ice bins, like you name it, that was on the culinary floor. Basically, I did it. the butane burners, changing them out, making sure that each team had fresh ones, making sure that all used ones were stashed away so that they couldn't get like mixed up. Answering any questions that the team had, as well as talking to each team mentor, educator, or coordinator, and letting them know what they can or cannot do when it came to in the tasting room and outside the tasting room, and when will they hear their critiques for the team, and then to make sure that they don't say anything, to let the students do their thing, to let them ask questions or answer questions.
I broke a lot of rules. Sorry.
Well, you know, you're not the only one.
I was like, no, I want the kids to tell me what the dish is. Don't tell them to hurry up. I want them to tell me, because they would come in. Basically, the students would come in and they would place the dish down on the table and they would have like 3 seconds to tell you what it was. And to me, that's a giant part of it. Whatever they how they describe the dish to me as a restaurateur, as a chef, as a just in the business. And sometimes they would say it and they would say it so fast. They'd be so nervous. I was like, wait, slow down. Take a breath. All right, now tell me again. And the next thing you know, one of the head people was like, come on, gotta go. I was like, whoa, I don't know what the hell I'm eating. Oh, wait, yes, I do.
Yeah.
It's another scallop.
Yeah, every year, like the trend, for some reason, like they don't talk to each other. But for some reason, when I was tasting these as well, like I would notice, like, okay, this year would be all scallops, or this year would be all mousses for dessert, or this year would be all panna cottas. Or duck, like 1 year will be all duck. It's just, it's funny how like all the schools, even though they're like all apart, somehow they all pick the same thing. So it really depends on the year. And then you get stuck with the same exact thing the whole time.
I appreciate all the help you did for me when I was there. It was a great thing. And it was funny because my first time walking in the door, you were the first person I met when I sat down right in the front, right beside you. And it was funny because so I wear black. I wear black shirts, black everything. That's what I wear. Mm-hmm. And Chef Nick Calais, good buddy of mine, one of the who helped me get involved, he texted me and said, "Hey, is you know, I read all this text in this thick Boston accent. Hey, bro, you got to go get you a white coat." So I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, you got to wear white, or they're gonna jump all over you." And I was like, "Get the fuck out of here." And so, but I loved it though. You really do. You have to wear your whites. You got to wear your toque. Like, but it's the respect. Like, you got to show the. How could you expect the kids to respect it if you don't?
Yes, it's definitely one of those things because a lot of people are like, why? We should show off what we are doing. But you're also, we require the students to be a certain standard. And so to say they have to be at a certain standard and then for us to be the complete opposite doesn't make sense for them in their eyes. They want to be just like you. And so when they see other chefs in different colors or short sleeves or like whatever that they choose, it makes it really hard for the students to understand that. They keep questioning all the rules that we have. And so it's just like, it's not that we don't want more, that we want everyone to be on the same page so you guys are equal.
You went to CIA. I went to CIA. Did we ever question what we were supposed to wear? No, that's what you wear.
No. You wore it with neckerchief and all, no matter how hot it was.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And if you question it, you better shut the fuck up because somebody's going to yell at you.
For sure.
You know, it would be really fun. I found it was interesting there at ProStart this year. If you're involved with Nationals, we should talk as it gets closer because I think this is a great idea. You know, Coke was there doing their thing, and they brought somebody who had been on some baking show or whatever. But I was looking at that, and it just really kind of – it was interesting to me because they had this person who had been on some baking show, and good for her. It was great, like a baking competition show. And Coke was like, yeah, come talk to her or whatever. When – meanwhile, downstairs, in the judges' room, you've got Cupcake Casey, who is the he's amazing. He's like world renowned in the world of baking. The guy's got, he's won awards. He was educator of the year. I mean, this is the guy you should be talking to. I mean, the guy, if you want to talk TV, he won Cupcake Wars like 3 times. You know, you got Chef Nick Calais. I'm just wondering, like, some sort of a judges symposium for those kids might be really cool.
Yes. Definitely something that I can definitely tell them. As the co-lead judge, we don't really get to do anything other than give recommendations. But that does sound interesting, where when you guys have downtime, where the students are able to come talk to you guys and ask questions. That would sound, I wouldn't see any problem with that. Or unless
they make it fun. Like it's like a more fun atmosphere, you know, come out, you can wear whatever clothes you want to wear. Here's 3 judges who have done a whole lot of stuff who happened. And plus then they can see the quality of judges that were there. Cause God, I mean, some really renowned people were in that room judging, at least the room I was in. It was pretty freaking cool.
Yeah. Yes, there is. There are very, the roster on the judges is crazy.
And I'm not even talking about myself.
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm kidding, but I'm being serious. Like just having these, the guys in there to give these guys a chance to see, like, I think it's interesting to see different aspects of the business. It's kind of what I'm getting at, you know, just for everyone to look at and see. Like, I'm a private chef. And, you know, they may dig that, just seeing that different views and ways around it. So, anyway, that's all. I think it's pretty cool. I mean, way more interesting than someone who won a cookie show one-off or something.
Yeah, I understand.
So anyway, what a great event. Amazing. Probably pretty cool for you because you've been involved with it for a lot of years on a local level to be there on a national level and be a part of it, right?
Yes. It's been a very challenging year because I went from just being a tasting judge to lead judge of California and then now co-lead judge of Nationals, which has been a wonderful experience. Dr. Chester is very, very generous and making sure he shows me all the steps. And, you know, he's the one that started this whole thing from the bottom up. So To be able to follow under his footsteps and learn from him is very, it's worth all of it. Well, all the pain.
He's grooming his replacement, what he's doing.
I don't, for California, yes. For nationals, I don't know what it entails, but I'll definitely be there somehow, I think, in the future.
Well, I'm hoping I get asked back because it was such a cool experience to be a part of and see that stuff and actually have the chance to talk to these kids. So I look forward to next year and seeing what happens. But as far as go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, I think all the judges that came this year really, really enjoyed it. All of them. I had many people come up to me at the end and tell me like how much it was worth it, how much they didn't want to do it, and then realize once they did it the first day how much they enjoyed it and how great it was. So.
Yeah, and you know, we didn't have any fun at all either, that's for sure. Well, it's a great event. It's great to see and brings kids together, you know, as far as a teaching point, you know, which I think is really, really important. So it's awesome. I look forward to it next year and really, really, just what a great event. And thank you for all your hard work on it, 'cause I know it wasn't easy.
Oh, thanks.
Let's talk about you a little bit more, though, because you graduated school, like you were worked in the business, and you kind of had this dream, like we started off with, of saying that, you know, you kind of wanted to be a teacher your whole life, and now here you are, right back to doing exactly what you wanted to do. And, you know, it's always great to see someone in this business who has worked so hard to get what they want out of it. And so talk a little bit about where you teach and what you teach and how it works with the restaurant that you're running and all that stuff.
So currently right now I'm at Cal Poly Pomona and I'm the chef instructor of the student-run restaurant. It's basically the capstone course of their college, the time at their college. We usually get the seniors. Very rare do we get juniors. They basically apply all the skills that they've learned throughout the four to 2 years, whether it's cost control, management, front of the house experience. They take all the classes that they've learned and then they apply all of it to in the school, in the class that I teach. So they have to use their marketing skills. They have to learn how to come up with objectives that their staff has to follow or try to achieve. They have to, you know, manage the restaurant. So there's two front of the house managers and then there's two back of the house managers, and they every week it rotates. They learn how to manage their peers, which to me is like the hardest, because usually in industry you have a hierarchy. You don't have to worry about like saying no or yes or anyone saying no to you or defying you. But in this scenario, every week you can change your position. So 1 week you're manager, the following week you're a dishwasher, and then the following week you could be a server or a line cook, a bartender, a host, or a cashier, or a prep cook. And they do that for 7 weeks, where they just rotate every single week and learn how to run a restaurant. And their main goal is to learn how to manage in the hospitality field, whether they are gearing towards restaurant focus or hotels or lodging or anything like that. We want them to understand how to manage in the hospitality. So they apply their skills that learned throughout the few 2 to 4 years that they've been with us, and then they are able to take it on into industry and say they have some experience. I fell in love with the program instantly because my whole life until then, I was trying to get towards cooking and I wasn't able to. I just kept changing my major. I went from like human resources to business to economics to anything. And then I realized when I transferred to Cal Poly Pomona, I found out through another friend that there were cooking classes at the Collins College. And I was like, there's a cooking school here? And being a student, I found out was just like, went in, I took the class, and I fell in love with it. I was like, this is exactly where I want to be. I want to be in the restaurant. Don't want to be anywhere else. So I literally took on a minor to extend my year at Cal Poly Pomona so that I can be a student assistant at the restaurant. And
no way.
I fell in love as a student assistant. I just fell in love. I love the fact that, you know, I went from not being able to follow my dreams to taking one class and realizing that I can follow my dreams and that I can pursue anything. Yeah. And it's gorgeous. It's, we're right on top of the hill. We have the whole view of like the city of Pomona, which doesn't sound the greatest if you're from California, but it's actually quite nice above there. A lot of people do like romantic dates because, you know, a restaurant, since it's on the hill, that has the full skylight view,
wow.
which is nice.
Man, it sounds great. It's such amazing. It's such an amazing story. I was going to say, continue how you know, keep telling it.
Yeah, just once I decided to continue with culinary, in the beginning, I was like, okay, I'm going to go get as much experience as I can, maybe open my own restaurant, and then I'll come back as I retire and become a chef instructor. So I went to CIA, got my culinary certificate, and then I went off, and I'm a comfort food kind of person. I love spaghetti and meatballs. I love country fried steak. But I forced myself to do fine dining. And I did steakhouse, and then I went to fine dining in San Francisco. There, I worked at SBQR, and I helped them achieve a Michelin star. Came out with the cookbook on the same day we found out about the Michelin star. I just had a whirlwind for 4 years up there. And then I came back to Southern California because I just missed the sunshine. NorCal is nice, but it's a little cold for me.
But wait, have you ever done the East Coast?
No, I have not. And so my first, when I went to Providence, I've gone to New York in March, and it's cold.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not, I'm definitely a Southern California kind of girl. I'm not used to the cold at all. So, when it's like 70 degrees, 60 degrees here, we think it's freezing.
I'm getting messages from Chef Kevin Levine in Myrtle Beach. He's like, come to Myrtle Beach.
Yes. But once I decided to come back to Southern California, I worked for a celebrity chef, Chef Feng Yu. He owns Father's Office. He was on Top Chef Masters.
Okay.
I helped him run three of his restaurants and just got back to like my roots because he does a lot of Asian cooking, which was nice. So I did that for a year and then Cal Poly called. So I had not anticipated. I had planned on staying with Chef Sang Yoon for like 5 years and doing my thing still and waiting for the opportunity one day to come back to Cal Poly. But when they called me, they had asked me to come back to Cal Poly, but there was one twist to it. I would actually have to go back to Cal Poly and teach front of the house. And so, I know, right? As a chef, you're just like, what?
No, you weren't. You were like this. Fuck.
Well, actually, my exact words were, what if I said fuck you to a guest?
One, you'd be my hero, whatever that's worth.
So it was actually quite interesting. But I actually, at first, I was like, no, I don't think I can do that. Like, I'll just wait for the opportunity to come back as a chef. And they were pretty persistent and called again and was like, well, just think about it. Like, and then I thought about it in the sense of, well, I've always wanted to learn to teach. So what better way to teach than to learn front of the house too, so that I could be a more well-rounded. Than that I would be understandable for the front of the house or be willing to know how the students run service and be able to help the servers as well learn. So I said yes.
That's probably not totally true because you know, I went about well rounded because you would do it and then you'd be like, yeah, I could do it better than they can do it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the problem now, because every time a front of the house instructor comes along, I'm like, no, you can do it this way. It's more efficient. And so it's just backfire. So I'm always like, no, I've done it already. It's better to do it this way.
Right. So how has it been though? So you're back there now, you're running that restaurant. It's a student run restaurant. I got a feeling that you're not an easy instructor to work with to begin with. You probably give them the runaround, but The food itself, is it your menu? Is it their menu?
Yeah, it's my menu. It's definitely one of those things that I've had to learn to adapt. Because when I first created the menu, it was too difficult for them because we're not a culinary school. So a lot of our students only have one cooking class before they even come to the restaurant. And then they might take it freshman year and have like a 2-3 year gap before they even come into the restaurant. It's very challenging. Like I have to recipe test the recipes. Like I come up with an idea and then I test it, write it down, make sure I word it properly so they understand. And then I kind of have my student assistant test it. And then I pick, like I test it like 4 or 5 times before I even touch it because I have to make sure it works on the line, especially when you're like in service, you have to make sure it works. So, a lot of my, like, I'll take the student assistant that does the best out of all the student assistants and they can do it, then I'm like, good. And I'll tweak it a little bit. And then I'll find, like, one of my student assistants that has the most challenging. And so they'll try it, and then I'll tweak it again. And then I'll find the student in the class that always has a challenge, and I have them do a side project. And I'm like, okay, today's Friday night. We're not that busy on prep. You try this and see if they can prep it.
Wow.
So,
it sounds like a
pain in the ass. I have to do a lot of practice. Yeah, kind of. Because I want them to learn. I want them to understand. So.
Well, yeah. It's tough because, like you said, this is a hospitality management school. This isn't a culinary school. Mm-hmm. But
yep. It's
still good to have that basis to understand. How long are they actually with you? How long do you have the students?
10 weeks.
So they're with you for 10 weeks in the kitchen.
Yeah, so 2 weeks, the first 2 weeks is training. And it's not just back of house training. It's like training on how to run the restaurant that we have. From open table to how to answer the phone, how to greet guests. There are like, I think it's 12 steps of service that they have to do. To how to use a bed prep, how to use a RoboCrew, how to turn on and off the dish machine. We do 2 weeks of that.
So do you have one student like who has to rotate and he's like, oh, he's on dish today. Like it's a student who's doing it, or do you have like hired dishwashers in the kitchen? I know it's such a random question, but it's the first thing that popped in my brain.
No, it's the student. I actually have the rotation built where the management, back of the house managers, the line manager and the production manager, they become utility the following week. So they're a manager the first week and right after their dishwasher. And then as utility, they actually have to make family meal too. So they make family meal during prep time, and then right after family meal, they do dishes for the rest of the night.
You're such a chef. Look at you. You take it from being like top of the mountain to get your ass back down there.
Yeah, pretty much. You think your ego's big? Now let's squash it.
Yeah, fuck your ego. Get back down.
So
are you happy? Are you there? Like, are you still trying to move around anymore? Or you're good for a while? You're going to stay and not try to do anything
else? I'm good for a while. I definitely like it. I definitely like ProStart. I'll be sticking around with that. It's my way of giving back. I love how the high school students, they're just so inspiring. Like, you think that,
no doubt.
Like, when you're having a day at work and then you go to a ProStart event, these kids are in high school and you're just like,
I know.
Inspired by them. So I get like, that's my one way. Yeah, it's my one thing that I'm just like, I love doing this one thing and I will always do it. And Cal Poly, I love Cal Poly because I'm an alumni, as well as it's just, I like to make sure that I'm able to inspire students the way that I was inspired.
Well, I think you are definitely doing that because you're a pretty easy person to talk to and your love for the business, I mean, you can see it in your face when you talk to you. I want to go back to ProStart for a second because as someone who's been around even on the state level to doing your first year here at Nationals and being such an important part of it. How bad is it if you're a judge and you make a team cry?
Not on purpose. It's definitely not. A lot of the students sometimes take your critiques a little too at heart, or they take it the wrong way. It's just like, you know, a picture has 1,000 words. What you say, it can be in many different directions. And they have so much pressure. a lot of the students actually end up crying only because in their head they've put themselves down, which you have to remind them that they've achieved so much already, and that being at this competition generally is a great achievement that they should be proud of themselves. Making them cry, I don't think you do it on purpose, of course. But Dr. Chester has, like, I had a school gym in California since I was the lead judge. And I asked him to be the tasting judge and to just stick around so that, like, if I needed help, he would be right there. He ended up making the student cry because he ended up thinking that she got disqualified.
Oh my God.
Because he mentioned that if she used, because she did a fish that was a cedar plank wrap. Like, they make those little thin cedar planks now, and then you can wrap the fish and bake it.
Yeah, the thin cedar.
The team decided to use that. But if they did that at nationals, they actually wouldn't do very well because you have to have all edible garnishes. So he kind of mentioned if you go to nationals, you might want to change it. And then she took it as in they got disqualified.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that happens. Like, it's not like, you know, you guys do it on purpose. It's definitely, we always have to tell the judges to keep in mind to be motivating and to give advice and to remember not to change it to the way that you would do it, but to give them advice on how to improve on their skill.
Man, you know, it's bad because I definitely made one team cry, but it wasn't on purpose. But I mean, they fucked up, Sheree. Like, I'm not gonna lie to them. You know, I opened everything with congratulations on getting this far. It's amazing that you're here. You know, you did such a great job being here. Be proud of it. We're proud of you. We're proud that you're here. But if you put that Rosemary Spirit on this plate again, I'm gonna kill you.
Oh yeah.
If I get one more little bunched up bit of time, I'm gonna kill you. That's all. You're gonna be done. You're not gonna be in the business. Hey, I got a pretty good question actually from someone just came in right now. Chef Damon just sent me a message, man. What's up, Damon? Love you, buddy. He says, you know, what's your advice to people who don't have the means to go to culinary school but love the arts so much, you know, as anybody who has gone to culinary school? Like, what do you think is the best advice for them?
Study. Like, you can't go to school by a book, by the culinary, like, by the CIA book, or by, you know, what a book that inspires you so that you can be the best that you can. Just experience finding the right chef to mentor you is a good thing too. And making sure that you work for you in the sense of you're passionate and your drive and you're proud of the work that you do will definitely just take you far. Because if you're not happy at your job or if you're not happy with the chef that you're working under, you're not gonna strive for the best for yourself. So definitely, if you put pride with what you do, then you will always want to achieve 100% in anything that you do.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think working under someone is really important. I think working under someone for a long time is very, very important. I think that, you know, and understanding different things and experiencing different things, knowing that this business, man, it's not easy. You're going to have to go in there and work under somebody for, you know, and work shit hours and spend that part of your life doing that. That's part of the business. It's what we did. It's what I did for a very long time. I think it's important to understand that, you know, I do. But there's also a couple things you can do now, which are really, really cool. So check this out, Chef. So for my past birthday, my mother-in-law, there's a thing called Masterclass online. Have you seen this?
Oh, yes, I've heard of this. I definitely want to look into that.
So she got me this $90 masterclass thing for the entire thing. And it's a Gordon Ramsay masterclass. And it's like 9 hours. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. It's amazing.
Is it?
And it talks about cuts. It talks about the proper way to shallow poach a piece of fish. Like, it's awesome. Like, the things that no one talks about. And
yes,
it's badass. And it's $90. $90. And you have it forever. You can always go back and revisit it. So there's different ways, especially in this day and age, in the digital age that we live in, to get information. Like, while I do think school is an important thing and you can learn a lot from it, it's not the only thing. You can do a lot if you just have a computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, really, you can learn a whole lot that way.
Yeah. Just Yeah, I learned how to tile my kitchen floor watching YouTube. So,
dude, it's like the Matrix. Think about it. Remember the Matrix, the first one?
Yes.
He, all of a sudden, he's like, Keanu goes, I know Kung Fu. That was my Keanu impression, by the way. Like, you know what part I'm talking about? He's like, I know Kung Fu.
Yes, I do.
Do you remember? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's basically what we can do now. You want to know how to do something? You go to YouTube. You can watch a video. Now, it's not the Matrix. We don't have a thing jammed in our brain and learn it in 3 seconds. And all of a sudden, you can be like, other than the top of my floor. No. So you can watch a 10-minute video. And next thing you know, you got it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's what I do. I watch videos. And I go to my wife. And I'm like, I know how to paint the wall. She's like, you don't sound like Keanu. And I'm like, stop it. That's right. Yeah. So I'm glad that you're back there doing that. But you also spent some time, didn't you work in a Michelin star hotel too?
No, just the restaurant.
I helped achieve it. Nice. Now, do you get like a plaque for that or something? I know you don't. I'm kidding. But what a great little notch to have in your belt, right?
Yeah, it was blood, sweat, and tears. Like, literally.
Nice.
Yeah, it was
nice.
A lot of 20-hour days and it's nonstop.
I just got sent a meme of a dude from of Lawrence Fishburne in The Matrix. It's very funny. Well, listen, so you're a very, very smart individual, being a teacher and everything. So I was going to run a few things by you to actually get definitive definitions. I think here tonight, you and I, between your incredible brains and teaching ability and my wittiness and knack for dick jokes, we could come up with some definitions for some really undefined words in our world today. Can you help me do that?
Okay. Sounds good.
We're gonna this is called finishing the dictionary. Is what we're gonna do right now. You and I are gonna finish the dictionary. You down?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Why do you sound nervous? Don't sound nervous.
I'm like, you're gonna give me some weird numbers.
Whoa. I was trying to play some background music, but maybe we shouldn't play any background music. Let's see if it's too loud. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about some marketing terms that are used in the grocery stores in our world today. And I figured with you being a teacher and me, we could figure out what these words mean. And obviously, the glaring one that's out there right now is the word natural. All right, this music's got to go. Kill the fucking music. I can't deal it. I'm sorry. I can't handle it. It's stupid. It makes no sense. It sounds like we're in a haunted house. It doesn't work. Thank you. All right, look. The word natural. Right? Like, we all see it. Like, you, right beside the organic package is always the all-natural package. What does that word mean to you, Chef? You got to help me.
That term is just, I'm wondering what would be unnatural. That's what I think
right.
about when I say natural.
It's the people who kill me when they say, do you want to buy the wild fish or the organic fish? Wait a minute, what?
Yes. Like, which one's which?
Like, no, but you can get the organic one. It's so much better for you. Is it? You mean force feeding it corn is better than catching it on a freaking rod and reel? I don't get it. So natural. Currently, there's no formal definition by the U.S. FDA on the term natural on food, like labels. There's no real whatever. But natural claims to have become common on new foods, you know, natural claims, like people saying things are natural, are all over the place. It's more of a marketing term now, I guess, in my book, right?
Yes, most of the time it's all marketing, I feel like. It's just feeding him another thing to get you to buy something.
Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, they're saying that the word natural means no artificial ingredients or added color. I mean, really? Like, really? Minimally processed. Like, I don't even know what that means. What does minimally processed
yeah.
mean?
Like, how much more can I you mean, butcher a chicken?
Yeah, cut the shit up, and then what? I don't know. It's just crazy. So I think as far as the word natural goes, we should call it this. Natural is this. If it natural means that if you can eat it out of whatever its natural habitat is, it's natural.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Yes. Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm writing that one down. We'll make a note on that one. How about, this is my favorite one, too. How about the term local? I mean, I live in farm country. I'm assuming where you live in California is probably a beautiful farm country as well. You have amazing produce, amazing local things you can get to, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think
local should be like 50-mile radius, but I don't think that's true at the market.
Yeah. What's interesting is that I went to a store. I'm not going to name the store, but it was the whole store, and it had a lot of food in it. And that's what it was. It was a whole. I went to the whole store. I did the entire. The whole store is full of food. It was. It was amazing. It was one whole store full of food. And
I love whole stores, by the way.
Yeah. I went to the fish market section, and I was talking to the gentleman there, and I was like, hey, what do you have that's local? And I live in Connecticut. And he's like, oh, we have this amazing local fish from northern Maine. Wait, what? So I don't really think that's local. I mean, it's not that far, but it's not local. I mean, you had to get on a truck and travel. I mean, so here's my thing. I think local means if you can ride a bicycle there, in 8 hours, it's local.
Yes.
Is that good?
That sounds good.
All right, writing that one down too. By the way, the term localvore, by the way, which I just learned is an actual term, is used to describe someone who eats food grown locally or produced locally. Can we stop making up these words? Can we just stop making up those words?
Fruitarianism. Have you heard of that one?
Wait, what's it called?
I think it's called fruitarianism, fruitism,
that's
something like
that.
There's people out there. They only eat fruit.
Oh my God. They're a fruitarian?
Yeah.
That's a word that I would say to you after we've been drinking all night. And you'd be like, that's not a word. I'm like, oh, fruitarian chef. You don't even know.
Yeah.
Oh. California, we gotta love you. let's talk about the term organic. All right, organic is definitely a very, very. people are shaking their heads at fruitarian. The word organic has definitely become a bastardized term. I think you know, it does have the most specific criteria and legal meaning defined by the USDA. It's also one of those things where it's a little bit misleading because I can say I had this beautiful organic corn, for instance, but that does mean I can still use a little bit of pesticide on it as long as it's not exceeding the amount the FDA allows, right?
Oh.
You're a teacher. You're not supposed to say, oh. That's not what you want to hear. It's like going to the doctor and they look at your leg and they go, ooh, that's bad. but basically, they have to have a government person come and certify this. So this is kind of my shtick where I work out in the Hamptons of New York, and everybody's on board with this. It's all local food, which is kind of my thing too, but I'm a local bore. But it's definitely very, very monitored now and stuff like that, especially in the world of like bioengineering and things like that. But organic food, plant foods are produced, you know, without using any like conventional pesticides or fertilizers or things like that. I mean, all that seems like a good thing to me. What do you think, Chef?
I think it's good. I think the organic, depending on how extreme it is, I think organic is one of those things that we should try to continue doing. Adding all the extra preservatives, additives, and stuff like that doesn't really help us in overall. Trying to gear towards where we just make it more, I don't want to use the term, but it sounds more like natural.
All right, well, here's where it gets tricky. Here's where it gets tricky because organic has three levels of organic, right? You can be 100% organic. Products that are completely organic are made only from organic ingredients. They are official USDA organic seal. They can qualify for that, right? Then you can just have organic. And organic just means products that are at least 95% of its ingredients are organic, and they can qualify for the USDA organic seal. Isn't that crazy?
Okay.
Or you can have made with organic ingredients. And you just said made with really small, and this is organic in giant big letters. These are food products in which at least 70% of the ingredients are certified organic. So it's interesting how the labels can be so deceiving now, isn't it?
Yes. And the whole point of eating organic, like if you're going to go organic, you have to do like all organic to make a difference.
Yeah.
Personally, if I think if you're going to do organic, doing now having those terms be manipulated where you think you're eating organically, but you're not, can
right.
really get start a problem where you, it, eating organic will not help you if you're not doing it 100%.
It's such a crazy thing. it really is, man. It's last one I want to bring up to you is, of course, processed and unprocessed food. And, you know, a lot of people just think of processed as an unhealthy, like packaged food, you know. But that's not always the case, you know. For instance, you know, tofu itself, that we think of tofu as a very processed food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where, you know, but certain things like, yeah, I mean, it's not awful, you know, I mean, well, mm-hmm. let me rephrase that. It does taste awful. If you eat tofu, you should just kill yourself now, but
no,
it doesn't taste good. Stop it. Nobody actually says that tofu tastes good.
Oh my God. You just haven't had it in a good way.
I one chopped with tofu, so I know I can make tofu delicious, but it doesn't taste good.
Oh my God.
It's not good. But processed versus unprocessed. So we're going to leave that guy alone. I think we defined a lot of words here. Chef, I think you and I, we did a lot for the world today.
Oh, yeah.
So check it out, guys. You can follow Chef on Instagram at SCM629. She's not a very public person, but if you follow her there, she may permit you to follow her or may not, but I have to promote something for you, so that's what I'm promoting. What does okay. The school, do they have an Instagram page?
Yeah, Collins College. They do. And we have the restaurant has a page too. It's called RKR.
Why didn't you tell me that one? I want that one. What's it called again?
Oh, RKR _CPP.
All right, wait, you got to let me freaking get to my Instagram page first. RKR.
_CPP.
TTP?
CPP.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
Cat?
That makes sense.
Cat polypomona?
Oh, that's a person, so we're not going to RKR. RTR, you said?
RKR.
Radio.
A restaurant. And, yeah. RKR _CPP.
Gotcha. Well, I'm looking forward to checking this out. You guys, there it is, the restaurant at Kellogg Ranch. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's the one.
Nice.
And I'm the dinner chef.
Follow and then which one?
And then we have, if you go on the RKR page, it says at the Collins College is the other.
Oh, I see it right there. Instagram. Yeah, yeah. There you go. There you go. Who runs the Instagram for RKR?
We do. Actually,
nice. Well, I just followed you. So
the lunch instructor. Well, we have lunch front of the house and back of the house instructors, and then we have dinner front of the house and back of the house instructors. So all four of us work on it.
Nice, nice. I'm looking at the first page of these shrimp with those tails. Look at those tails off that shrimp, chef.
Yep, there's that one. That's the lunch. Yeah, you'll see. We started at this. You'll see all the stuff that we do, and our menu changes every quarter, according to the season.
Well, very, very cool. Well, we gotta make sure you guys check that out. Of course, it's probably a lot more fun to follow that one. But it's mm-hmm. RKR. Hang on, I lost it. Here we go. Want to make sure I get the right thing. But it's a great Instagram page. You can see the food the chef's doing there. And of course you can follow Collins College and you can follow Chef, but I think you're pronounced private, but you know, follow him there, check him out. Chef, what a great conversation tonight, man. I appreciate you coming on here and talking to us and telling us your experience about Pro Start and everything you're doing for the young culinary generation in the world. My final question for you is, you see all these young, restaurant and hospitality industry people coming through you and your class and whatnot. Is the future bright or do we have a lot of work ahead of us? That's a tough question. I know.
It's definitely a tough question, depending on what handful of students you have. But they're all good kids.
put them together all in one big whole over the time period you've been there. And is the future bright or do we have problems?
Right. Definitely bright.
That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. Well, Chef, I appreciate your time tonight, and thank you so, so much for taking time to come on the show and chat with us. We really appreciate it, and we'll catch you on down the road.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll see you, Chef. Take care. All right.
Okay, bye.
There she goes, Chef Sheree Mooney. A lot of fun, that conversation. It's fun to talk to people who are kind of in the world there, of education and teaching young culinarians and hospitality people. So anyway. Big shout to her. Big thanks to her for coming on the program tonight. Big shout to the ProStart program, young chefs, young culinarians. I can't emphasize enough, get involved in that. Be a part of that. It's a great program. You can learn a lot from it. And it's something that I hope continues to be a part of what we do here in this business. Ladies and gentlemen, please rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. And remember, food is one of the most important things that we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. We'll see you next week, right here on Love Foods Live. Good night, folks.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Tough for you to get down on your knees. I pray.